In just a moment, we're going to continue a study of Saul as he began his great career as a preacher of the gospel found in Acts chapter 9. Let me read to you the text we'll be looking at least the introduction, and then into the text that we'll be studying, Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. And straightway in the synagogue he proclaimed Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that in Jerusalem made havoc of them that call on his name? And he had come thither for this intent, that he might bring them bound before the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews that dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the Christ. And when many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel together to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates also day and night, that they might kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall, lowering him in a basket. We're going to look at Elam's notes on that text, the notes that he wrote for the Sunday School of May 24th, 1925, in just a moment, under the heading, The Effect of Paul's Preaching. But before we go there, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at the effect of Paul's preaching. First, all the Jews in Damascus were amazed at Paul's preaching, because they knew he had made havoc of them that called on this name, and had come thither with authority to bind them and take them to the chief priest in Jerusalem. Second, Paul gained strength as a preacher, and confounded the Jews by his proof that Jesus is the Christ. He proved this and confounded those who opposed him by showing that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets as the Christ. And it says in Acts 9:23, And when many days were fulfilled, that is, after his stay in Arabia and his return to Damascus, or about the end of 3 years mentioned above, the Jews in the third place took counsel together to kill Paul. They were, one, amazed, two, confounded, and three, decided to kill him. The plot of the Jews to kill Paul became known to him. He says the governor, under Aretas, the king, guarded the city of Damascus in order to take him. 2 Corinthians 11:3. This verse says, They watched the gates also day and night, that they might kill him. Knowing this, the disciples led him down by night in a basket through a window of a house built upon the wall of the city, and he escaped. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. And so Paul was sent to the Gentiles, beginning in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And when he was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them going in and going out at Jerusalem, preaching boldly the name of the Lord. And he spake and disputed against the Greeks and Jews, but they were all seeking to kill him. And when the brethren knew it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. It was from Damascus that Paul went to Jerusalem and attempted to join the apostles there, but they were afraid of him, not believing he'd become a Christian. They could not believe that one who was once a persecutor was now a Christian.
When in comes Barnabas. He was reared on the island of Cyprus, and he was a good man, Acts 4:36-37. And he seems to have known Paul, or Paul may have sought him first. Anyway, Barnabas was convinced of the truthfulness of Paul's conversion. He took Paul to the apostles and declared his conversion to them, that he had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and that he had already preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Paul, as he says, did not see all the 12 apostles at this time. He saw Peter and James, the Lord's brother. Peter received Paul into the house he was occupying then at Jerusalem. And Paul tarried with Peter for 15 days, Galatians 1:18-19. It is most interesting to imagine what Paul and Peter discussed during that time. Paul was with these apostles in the work, going in and going out at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of Jesus. To call upon this name, as in verse 21, is to be a Christian, and to preach in the name of Jesus is to preach the gospel. In Jerusalem, Paul spake and disputed against the Greeks and Jews. He also spoke Greek, and he could easily discuss with this class of people. Also, he could easily discuss with the Hebrews. Instead of hearing him, these Grecian Jews were seeking to kill him. When the brethren learned this, they took Paul to Caesarea, the seaport of Jerusalem, and sent him forth to Tarsus, his native city. Of this, he says in his speech, recorded in Acts 22, that at this time, while in Jerusalem, and while praying, he prayed in the temple. He fell into a trance, and saw Jesus, who said to him, "Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, because they will not receive of thee testimony concerning me." He replied, saying to the Lord that the Jews knew all he had done as a persecutor, and the part he had taken in Stephen's death. But the Lord said to him, "Depart, for I will send thee forth far hence unto the Gentiles." From this, it seems that Paul was disposed to remain in Jerusalem and continue his discussion with the Jews. From Tarsus, he went into Cilicia and Syria, and preached the gospel in these countries, Galatians 1:21-24. For we read later of churches there, Acts 15:40-41. Paul was never idle. Rather, he was always very busy preaching the gospel and teaching the Christian life. And so we read in Acts 9:31, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, being edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied." The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. This shows what the church is, namely, Christians, children of God, disciples of Christ, in any district or country, in any city, in any place. The church in Judea, or in Galilee, in Samaria, or in these countries together embrace the children of God, disciples of Christ, the Christians in these places. And they had peace, being edified. That means they were built up. Who had peace and were edified? The children of God, the Christians, the disciples of Christ. We know what edify means. The children of God, the disciples of Christ, Christians, in peace, received instruction and encouragement and were built up in the faith and hope of the gospel. It is remarkable that after Paul's conversion, the chief persecutor of the church, peace and edification, followed. Yet this was a reasonable result. It is remarkable also that one person can cause so much agitation, disturbance, and trouble, even in the church today. Now that brings us to the end of this Sunday school lesson. I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I see a lessons prepared for the Sunday schools of May 31st, 1925. And the title of this lesson is Peter at Lydda and Joppa. Now the text is Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. And it came to pass, as Peter went throughout all parts, he came down also to the saints that dwelt in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had kept his bed 8 years, for he was palsied. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ healeth thee. Arise and make thy bed. And straightway he arose. And all that dwelt in Lydda and in Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men unto him, entreating him, delay not to come on unto us. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made, and while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And it came to pass that he abode many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord, working with them, and confirming the word by signs that followed. Mark 16:20. The devotional reading is Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, for your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander to the peoples. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of Jehovah thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the righteous man his thought, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth seed, and bud, and giveth seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the fir tree, and instead of the briar the myrtle tree, and peace for Jehovah a name and an everlasting sign.